Thank you, choir. For five people, you get a lot of sound. I know I'm sitting right in front of you, but it sounds really good.
There's not enough of us that anybody can fake it.
Okay.
Maybe one.
Today it was the Dayton Quintet. So, well, hey, Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since Christmas Eve, but I have been thinking about you and wondering how things were. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? Do you believe in those things? No? Well, you know, there are a lot of resolutions. Eat healthier, lose weight, get more sleep, watch less TV, get out of debt faster, let go of the past. I hope it's not too late to bring up New Year's resolutions, but, you know, we're only in the 12th day of the new year, and I came across some resolutions that I thought were interesting, if not a bit humorous. And do you want me to share them? Would you like to, you know, something you can... Okay. My New Year's resolution, said one person, is to stop procrastinating. But more about that later. I will tell my future employer that I have trouble with authority figures. Is that going to last? Another promised, my New Year's resolution is to stop lying to myself about making lifestyle changes. And then there's one we'd all like to consider. This year, I'm making a resolution I can keep. No dieting at all this year. This one is, I like this one. My New Year's resolution is to eat better. So from now on, I'm going to only date guys who can afford to take me somewhere other than McDonald's. I really like the following one here. I resolve to remember that Cream Cake Day is on the 28th day of every month. Is there such a thing as Cream Cake Day? We could start something like that in Dayton, couldn't we? The same person may also have said, I resolve not to go to the gym on days ending in Y. Now you think about that. No? And just two more. I resolve to be a nicer person. Stop laughing. I can do this. And then finally, my resolution is to be more assertive, if that's okay with you. A lot of truth to that, isn't it? Well, actually, I have three more resolutions that I would like to suggest for all of us, and there is a space in the bulletin if you want to write them down, and I'm going to go over them again at the end, and there will not be a quiz. How about it if we resolve to give God the honor that is deserved? You know, in every church I've served, I've had the experience of meeting a church member years after my arrival. And the inactive member is usually embarrassed and sputters and says something like this, "Oh, you're the new pastor." And I say, yes, yeah, and I've been at the church now for 4 years. Oh, nothing against you, Pastor, but Sunday is my only day to fish, or it's my only day to go see my relatives. And but to the man who said one time to me that he always went to the gym and worked out on Sunday mornings, I said, well, why don't you come to the church and exercise your faith? That's not too bad, is it? I had to patent that one. One resolution for a Christian is to give God first priority and not get sidetracked with less important matters. Remember the commandments? One says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And another says, you shall have no other gods before me. But this isn't something that just laity need to do. Even clergy can lose focus on what our priority should be. I was in Sweden about 3 years ago, and in Sweden there is a most unique church that has in its sanctuary two really large crucifixes. I understand that in 1716, Carl XII, the king of Sweden, appeared unexpectedly one Sunday in worship. And when the pastor or priest, whatever they called him at that time, saw his monarch out there in the sanctuary, he decided to drop his prepared text and went on for 20 minutes to extol the virtues of his king, King Carl XII. He never ever got around to delivering his sermon. Well, after the sermon, the king greeted the pastor very cordially. But a few days later, a gift arrived from the palace in Stockholm, just across the river from this church. And inside was a large crucifix with a note from the king, which read, "This crucifix is to be placed on the pillar facing the pulpit to remind whoever stands there what his subject should be." And so I'd like to do something sort of radical like that and put a cross on that pillar right there to remind whoever stands here in this pulpit, whether it's me or another guest pastor or when that new pastor arrives sometime, will see this cross and you can remind him, this is what your subject should be. So our first resolution might be put this way. We resolve to worship God and make God a priority this year. The second resolution for us this year might be to learn all that we can about God. Maybe you've heard the statistic, the sad statistic, that the average Protestant in America drops out of church school after the ninth grade. The irony of that is that the Bible is an adult book with adult themes. It wasn't written for kids. It was written for adolescents and adults. Many people never studied the Word of God, but the word disciple at the root means learner. I've had this experience in new member classes when I've conducted maybe 4 or 5 sessions on somebody who wanted to join the church I was serving and talked about a little bit of the history of Christianity and the history of that local church and how the church is organized and what this particular church is doing in terms of ministries and what our goals are and so on and so forth. And I have had several people say to me in a class, "Pastor Dan, tell me what I should believe. Tell me what I should believe about this subject." And I always try to lay out for them a way to delve into what the Bible says on the subject. But I tell them, you know, I'm not the final word. I know there are pastors out there who think they know it all and they try to indoctrinate people, but I believe that a person comes to a much more mature faith if he or she has studied the scriptures and been in prayer and has done some struggling, so that then the faith really becomes their own. It's not spoon-fed. It's not indoctrinated on them, but it's something they have worked through. Perhaps I've mentioned it before, but the country of Haiti in the Caribbean is one of my favorite spots. It's near and dear to my heart. I've been there 5 times and on 4 work camps. It's the poorest country in our hemisphere. The average person makes about $1.20 a day. There's a growing population, there is illiteracy, there's hunger, there's tuberculosis, there's poverty. The government isn't very effective and has a long history of corruption. But it's different with the churches. I've been impressed with what the various denominations have been doing there. It's really an ecumenical effort. Most inspiring to me in the last couple visits, one was up in the mountains, and Haiti means land of endless mountains, and the mountains, from the sea level up, it's 5,000-6,000 feet. And way up in the mountains, there is a Baptist mission that has a school and a shop where they make artsy, craftsy things. But then there is a big nursery where they start seedlings for trees, and the Baptist mission plants 400,000 trees a year on the hillsides to build up a timber industry and also to stem the tide of erosion. Well, another mission I saw that was very impressive was a mission in a little village called Christianville. None of the people in the village, when I was there, had any electricity in their small little homes. And so it was difficult for the kids who went to the school there at the Christianville mission. It was difficult for the kids to study after the sun went down. But this is what's really cool. The mission had electricity. And there was a bright, big fluorescent light on the front of the church sanctuary. And so the kids came to the churchyard, sat on the ground, and studied each night by the light of the cross. Now, isn't that a fabulous image of the church? That the light of the gospel of Christ reveals the way and the truth and the life. Like Paul put it in our epistle lesson this morning, our second resolution should be to learn more about God's world and the teachings of Jesus and how they apply. Now, if there is a God, then by necessity we not only need to worship Him and learn more about God's word and will, we also have the joyous task of serving God. And so the third resolution for us in 2020 might be something that reads like this: we resolve to serve God. You and I know that we live in difficult times when people are searching, angry, depressed, sequestered, lonely. I was watching a show on Tuesday and learned that there is an app where a person can create a relationship with artificial intelligence, a computer. A person can talk with an artificial intelligence, can write to the artificial person, can relate to the artificial person? Doesn't that seem bizarre? But it points out a real paradox in American society that even though we have more ways to communicate with each other than ever before, many of us are lonely and living without meaning. That whole specter of loneliness and estrangement would be shattered if people could come across Jesus' words and comprehend them, where he says that we find meaning, we find life by giving ourselves away to others. We find meaning when we serve the needs of others. I've found that to be true. If I just focus on myself, I can become really pretty miserable. But if I focus on others, if I focus on what God would have me do, WWJD, I find a joy and a satisfaction that is pretty amazing. During the Second World War, a cathedral in Berlin was destroyed by the bombs of the Allies. Standing in the cathedral before the destruction had been a larger-than-life statue of Jesus, and the pose which the statue struck was one of compassion, and his arms and hands were outstretched to show this. It was like this. There is a statue just like this at a big Lutheran church in Copenhagen. Well, when the war was over and the people went back to their church, they found that the statue had been damaged. The arm from about the elbow down was missing. The hands were gone. They'd been blown off. For a while, the people debated about what to do with their church and their statue. And then one member of the church made an amazing statement, amazing suggestion. He said, "Let's rebuild our church, but let's leave the statue of Christ as it is. And let us be Christ's hands." And to this day, it's been about 75 years since the end of World War II, and the statue of Jesus stands without hands, except ours. As I see it, there are three simple solutions, or not solutions, well, solutions, resolutions, to add in 2020. First, we should strive to give God first priority in our lives. Second, we should endeavor to learn all we can about God as revealed in Christ, learning, if you will, by the light of the cross. And finally, we should resolve to serve God and our neighbor by being Christ's hands in the world. Now, if those tasks are too wordy for the bulletin, let me state them more simply. We resolve to worship God, to learn about God, and to serve God this year. Let us pray. Oh God, help us by your grace to get or keep our priorities in order. Help us in this new year to be more attentive to you and your words and your will for our lives, and more willing to serve you and our neighbor in all that we do. Bless Memorial Church and all its endeavors. Bless all those who labor tirelessly for the kingdom of God. Bless those who have had a tough time of it lately. And bless those troubled places of the world with peace. And grant your other blessings to the places where they need them the most. These prayers we offer to you in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.